This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, as always, back with one of our OG friends on the show, Greg Keller from Jump Cloud. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, good to see you again, my friend. It's been some time.
It has been, and Jump Cloud's been in the news recently with it with a new announcement from Google Workspace and with a new partnership. And before we kind of dive into what I believe are the implications of that, can you give us like the high level what you all announced with Google?
Yeah, for sure. The announcement really was a culmination of, frankly, a lot of pre-existing customer integration we've done in the field. We share many thousands, truly, no embellishment, many thousands of common customers together. And it got to a point where the success of Workspace and our Jump Cloud's identity, access management, and device management stuff was sort of the peanut butter and jelly kind of solution. But Bradley, I think that the very specific, you know, part of the reason why this relationship came together was its power in really unseating Microsoft, which obviously through E3 and E5, those notable subscription bundles, the combination of Jump Cloud and Google Workspace really presented a strong adversary to that. And a credible way to displace that and give customers new choice, just different ways of thinking about more flexible management of productivity, of certainly of AI, and of course, the IT-related items that we cover, which is identity and device management.
Well, it's a trend I think we just continue to see in the field. And I think there's like this misnomer for people that are maybe outside of like in the field enterprise B2B sales of like, the product-led growth, sales-led growth, like there is so much of even in the largest enterprises where you really have these personal relationships with the vendors. You're talking to the product team, like they're building what you're wanting. And then you just frequently bring in, you know, if you all are working on a project with a customer, you bring in Google, bring in, you know, like there's this like, you know, it's almost like building a house where like there's like the contractor and then he or she is bringing in their subcontractors and you're like, hey, we get this friend over here that can do this. And that's, there's more of that in the field with enterprise sales that I don't think most people realize. Has that been your experience as well?
Truly, yes. It's, and the reason, because of 40 years of very entrenched channel distribution of Microsoft IT products and services. It is what it is. However, let me kind of augment that use case or that model you presented. You know, if you think about businesses and IT essentially as, you know, having over 40 years built a house, and the ways to like the model and the architecture for the house, where to get the materials, how to service the house. It's all been sort of dictated by Microsoft. Fast forward, you know, in 2025, there's mice and termites in the house. And that is representative of a number of things. One, the sheer just, you know, ludicrous amount of security vulnerabilities that, you know, now a 30 plus year old code base represents. And all the nation state actors who have cracked that code and really understand how to destabilize a Microsoft IT-based business. Two, it's sort of like the tactics of when you develop a 30 to 40 year sales distribution channel There's very little flexibility in pricing, and the markets have, you know, been sort of isolated and frozen by Microsoft. And we've challenged that. We think that's a bit unfair just in terms of providing organizations choice in what they would like to use vis-a-vis IT capabilities, technologies, and services. And that's the way I look at it, Brad. It's just a, you know, I'm sort of riffing on your analogy there, but this is what we face.
Well, the distribution angle there, I think, is pretty critical, because I think that lays into the procurement. And I think that's it's a challenge that if you've never been on like the actual buyer side or the seller side, like directly, like, you know, hands to the contract, that can be a challenge. And that's why, you know, you frequently will see companies that will bring in some of their channel partners that have existing relationships with customers, just because that is a huge hurdle often of getting the deal done. Even if you had all the technical stuff, you know, laid out, that becomes a challenge. And when you can leverage existing agreements, I think that's pretty fantastic. You do feel like you're at this crossroads of a new epoch with enterprise tech of, you know, I really basically got the agentic AI buzzword. And I genuinely do think we are entering into a new era where IT is going to look a lot different. Troubleshooting is going to look a lot different. I think how help desk is ran. Just the idea of like things that we used to manually do will just kind of be done and presented. And there's going to be just a lot more. I think there's going to be a lot more self-service. I think there's going to be a lot more automation. What are your thoughts there? You know, for teams that are looking to make this transition to this agentic AI world, you know, it's like you don't even know. It's sort of like zero trust was for many years. Like you're like, I know I want to get there, but I also don't know how to get there.
Yeah, I love the question. Let me take the second part first, which is very easy. Yes, without question, automation is now pervasive and ubiquitous and or should be sought after by IT teams. I'm assuming if I'm, you know, a person listening to your podcast, Brad, you know, they are probably simultaneously, you know, ordering and or fiddling with a MacBook or a Windows machine, getting it prepared for, you know, distribution out to an employee, as much as they're grokking, you know, this new intel that's coming in their ears through your podcast. And the reality is automation is critical so IT can focus on more important things, truly, right? Ticket management, ticket flow, ticket resolution can and should be done credibly and securely by the end user themselves. And that's a function of workflow, of automation. Yes, AI has its tentacles in that to improve that. Companies like GemCloud and others are, you know, working hard to, you know, satisfy those things for IT. But let's flip this around to your zero trust thing. You know, in the world of AI, and that is a multifold, like, you know, kind of decomposition of technologies. You know, it's not dissimilar to the zero trust thing that you brought up. How? Like zero trust is without, you know, going through its philosophies and everything, it's really a security philosophy at heart, but implemented by IT, right? Identity and access control systems, device trust. You know, these are all things in the wheelhouse of IT, and IT, whether they like it, know it, or understand it enough, is playing that role fundamentally by operating, implementing, and operating the products that actually establish the majority of the zero trust security framework. Now, translate that into AI. Faster than any one of your listeners can think, right now there is an employee accessing, downloading, or otherwise utilizing some form of AI that is probably unknown to the organization. So in the spirit of zero trust, you know, you have to establish a mechanism of first discovering what is in use within the organization. You can't control it. You can't manage it if you don't know about it, right? So ensuring that the company knows how to mitigate through discovery, what is being used is mission critical. Two, it is an urgency by the IT team to understand the forms of IT. It's not just a bot. It's service accounts. It's all kinds of non-human forms of things that are trying to get access to other things. Sounds a lot like a human, right? So those same principles have to apply in the world of AI. Think about an MCP server or other forms of agentic AI. It's just a thing that is operating either like or on behalf of a human. And it has a purview, which is, what are the things that I can touch? What are the resources that I can interface with to do my job? And what are my scoped entitlements that I really should have before I make entry into that to perform my job? Again, sounds a lot like IAM, right? Like a human form of access control. The problem is the fast pace by which, you know, teams, manifold, like devs who are standing up MCP servers and just giving it an API key, that is so overweighted with entitlements that this is where it gets dangerous, right? So how can IT play a role in mitigating that sort of very quick onslaught of new forms of access or things that need access into the org? That is really what you need to be doing now. And probably what a lot of your first quarter of your fiscal year, if you're on a calendar year, that is, that's what it's going to look like. So start to get prepared for it.
Well, I'm starting to, you know, like you start to think about device access and then like kind of tool access in a new way here, because, you know, before it was like, okay, you get access to the device, you've got, you know, biometric, et cetera. But then when you start accessing, again, like Google Workspace is a good example, Google Gemini, obviously built right into Google Workspace. And I think there's a lot of really, really good things about those things being heavily baked in. But I think like the real secret sauce is when you can have agents reaching out to other aspects of your organization. It's scary in a way. But like you think about like, okay, if I'm going into Google Slides, I'm needing to make, you know, needing to make a deck. Well, maybe this is a sales forecasting deck, or this is a project planning deck. Well, like all that data exists amongst other tools. But like, the future is not going to be like going to those other tools and pulling in data. Like the future is you're in Google Workspace or just insert any tool, and it's talking to all your other systems to pull in that forecasting data, pull in that project data. So if you're going through some sort of certification, or you're going getting some sort of compliance certification, like all that data can just be pulled in and has context around it. And that's really awesome for content creation. That's terrible from a security point of view, because then you've got agents that are running amongst your I don't even want to say network, because it's not even network, like amongst your entire SaaS environment. It's awesome to think about how it can have that context, but then it's truly terrifying to think that something that you cannot control, it's almost like a spider that can crawl all amongst your environment. It's terrifying.
No, I agree. And listen, we all need to take a breath. The robots aren't going to, turn us into Skynet and take us over. It is really a function of more methodic reverse engineering of what is being laid in place by organizations. Now, so, you know, what's funny for any of us or your listeners who are around in the 90s, we're kind of revisiting the whole world of SOA, service oriented architecture, and, you know, when the internet was really cutting its teeth, and how did my on-premise thing get connectivity to other, you know, internet, services, all these kinds of things. It's like a replica of that, but at a faster pace. So here's the problem dilemma. You have companies of various sizes, huge enterprises, and even, you know, small mid-market companies, where you have aggressive executive teams, probably led by the CEO, you know, indicating to their company, get AI moving in my company, in our company, or we are dead. All right. And that sets a tone. And the tone is, my CEO, our board, our executive staff is pressuring me to go and develop solutions using AI to get me and my teams more productive, faster, you know, all the things, right? That immediately sets a domino chain in event, because security teams and IT teams aren't ready for this. They don't know what to scrutinize. There isn't a policy plan, unless you're a really mature company, on how to, you know, do security, you know, risk and mitigation and do all the analysis of these companies. So it's just happening. So, you know, the number one thing for IT teams to do in this moment is to, number one, advocate that, you know, slow is fast here. What I mean by that is if we, you know, enable a process that isn't totally bottlenecked, where the IT team can have some time to analyze the different types of products and then provide back to the organization, here's the ones that we've approved, go nuts, right? That's a good thing. Now, the risk part, as you're talking about, kind of looks like this, right? You've got, you've already got tools. You got Google Workspace. You know, maybe you got a product like MuleSoft or Zapier or something in there. You've got some aggressive ops person who's like, well, shit, Zapier just, you know, put together their MCP server. I'm going to stand that up. All right. And this other service has an MCP server and I'm going to stand that up. Right. And they're moving fast and they're giving like these direct entitlements, like overweighted tokens in or API keys in between them. And before you know it, at the other end, you have a bot, right? Which, you know, has now been advertised to the company. Hey, folks, go ahead, ask this thing to do whatever you need to do, right? Bradley, to your point, go build me a, you know, a deck that does something. And you have all this pipeline of integration now working. And what you aren't realizing is through Workspace, you now have a direct connectivity into Gmail. It has your entitlements, your token, and, you know, then you have, I'm not even saying bad actors. I'm saying someone who's like, send an email out that does, you know, it makes an assumption on things. And before you know it, you have communication slipping outside of your company, maybe even providing access to Google Docs that, you know, are far and wide to exposing, right? So like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, do not move too fast until you understand the contractual, and I'm going to use that term specifically, but the API contracts in between these services. Understand what the scoped entitlements are. That is absolutely critical. So, you know, you don't want to constrain aggressivity and getting your company to the next level with AI, but not at the expense of not enforcing least privilege. And that's where things go haywire.
Do you think companies building more direct, like, you know, I guess like the agentic AI era of collaborations, where instead of like the company saying, hey, we got these two tools, we would like them to talk together. We're going to like go set these things up ourselves. It's sort of like anybody can set up an object store in S3, but just because you can't set it doesn't mean it's set up like really right and secure. Like, so again, I'm just throwing out like a company, like an idea, like there's going to be like a really cohesive integration from say your CRM with your productivity software. We're like, hey, we're going to set these things up in a way that like our security teams are comfortable with setting up versus like the companies actually having to build these. So do you think that's going to be the trend or is it going to stay on the company side?
No. I do think that that is sort of like the trend. Your S3 analogy is interesting. Yep. It's sort of like, you know, it's like the Oprah Winfrey version of you get an S3 bucket. Now you get an S3 bucket and all of them are, you know, scoped as public, you know, and it's, you know, ridiculous. That's a really good analogy. So yeah, it's going to be on behalf of the companies that, you know, they're going to have to implement measures and controls, or at least, you know, deep communications with wrist slapping on, you must put a product through a security and IT, evaluation, before you drop it into any level of, you know, production environment. And when I say that, that doesn't mean like your AWS or GCP infrastructure. Production means your tenant of Google Workspace and Google Drive, as a good example, which all of your employees are currently using. And what is the level of access that some MCP server or workflow or AI, you know, technology has access to, right? And that's where rewind this tape and go back to one of the first things that I said. That's already happening right now, and it's outpacing IT and security teams. You have to have a method of discovery, right? And that's really important. We already have, launched a lot of this. It's browser extension, super easy, just to sniff out what the heck are your employees hitting that, maybe they have access to. And as an example, as we all know, we as IT and security teams often overweight the user accounts on MacBooks and Windows machines. They're all pseudo or admins, right? So guess what? They're downloading stuff, and it's, because they can, right? Doesn't mean it shouldn't be there. So could a browser extension sniff that out, or, OS query, which we install on our agent on the box, be sniffing that stuff out? Definitely your IT and security teams need to get more sophisticated on listening to what is occurring on those hosts.
That's a really good thought. I hadn't considered that. Because, it's crazy. Like, we're talking high level of like tools talking, I guess, quote unquote, over the wire, over, AI tools and pulling data. And then we go right down to like, actually, one of the huge problems is just what's happening locally in the machine. Your end users have way too much power locally and can break things. Because again, I think that one of the first things you saw when OpenAI added their browser, people are like, hang on, like, if this thing can go into agent mode, if you can get control of the end user of the device, well, this browser can then do things automatically. Like you're kind of like, okay, I'm going to get into the top of the network, still through the bottom. It's like, it's the same old problem. It's like, if I can get access to the machine, then the agentic brower can take control and start doing things. But then I have access to all sorts of things. And I didn't, because the old misnomer is like, oh, I'm going to get into, through the network side, I get in through just like a high level user account on, through your identity engine. I just need to get access to the browser or get access to the machine. The machine has tons of power. Local admin can do all the things, and then it just goes nuts.
Huh. It's like, listen, like, we're all now old enough to know that the pristine nature of a network based security perimeter around a brick and mortar building, the way we used to do it not so long ago, is gone. It's dead, right? We are through the looking glass, and remote, hybrid, and otherwise, sort of free floating devices that are out there on planet Earth, that is stretching the network perimeter of the organization like an amoeba, right? And yes, those humans on their devices are one penetration point for, again, it's not even bad acting. It was a harmless, innocent thing to do to download something that is completely valid, right? And the person with the capabilities, because they're admin on their machine and they may be an engineer with some level of ability to generate a token that has a big set of entitlements, and just, they give it a try. They give this thing access. And before you know it, that's where the things start to, really rip out of control. It's not just robotic MCP servers chatting with each other and making decisions and, outside of the purview of a human. Sure, that's a problem. And that needs to be mitigated too, like humans. But, it's, again, not dissimilar to the normal set of zero trust principles that all of your listeners need to be implementing.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, we're, you get two kind of things here. I'm seeing it's, go back to the S3 example, and so many like SaaS businesses today, like, let's say they're just building things on top of object storage, like some sort of like file storage, file sharing, there's 1,000 companies that are in this. Yeah, the question is always, well, can I just do something similar with my own object storage? Sure. What you're paying, like, you're not paying for like the 95%. You're paying for the 5% here of the application and like the functionality it brings to your company. And in reality, it's going to be the same thing where the just give it access is like, I think, such a critical thing. So you're kind of coming full circle, and like the same principles that of zero trust with devices are going to be the same principles on how you deploy agentic AI amongst your organization. It's the same problems, just a new industry. And you just have to assume everything is bad and figure out a way to authenticate in the proper way with the proper permissions. Yeah, everything is old is new again.
Yeah, it is. But you said something that is very nuanced, and I will. You didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you my opinion. Like, there are now a ton of, I think my team and I counted 26 different companies trying to poke their nose in this space of more AI-driven IAM, right? And I think it's super interesting. But again, these aren't categories. These will be features consolidated into, you know, longstanding IAM platforms, not dissimilar to us or Entra or, you know, similar. You know, that's absolutely important. The other thing to understand is humans, I feel, this is, again, my opinion, will always, you know, maintain some part of that verification process, right? So in the spirit of how zero trust works, there's, you know, not trusting anything. You set up trust, and then you have signals, and then verification of those signals, right? And typically that verification is done through some form of multi-factor or biometric or whatever, right? By a human. So the first thing is move aside all this, you know, whiz bang modern AI stuff. Look, you know, rewind the tape 10 years ago and you have workloads like machine workloads going on cross cloud. And those things are, their identities, right? Workload A, workload B, those are both A and B are identities. There's trust that has to be established between them. And so what do developers do? You know, they stand up, you know, PKI service or trade certs, and like you get some basis of trust. But again, those are long standing, right? What happens when things change, entitlements change, you know, or there's an interruption of service? Like, how can you verify and reinstantiate a solid, good, trusted handshake between those things? You know, that, and by the way, that's been a problem in that space, right? Move into this world of much, much more dynamic, ever-changing AI, MCP servers, agentic bots, those kinds of things that are evolving at such a pace. And, you know, a bot may need access to something and it shouldn't just be, you know, given administrative purview to go and do it. Entitlements change should be a function of letting a human verify, you know, and, you know, there's lots of ways to step into that process and give humans, you know, the absolute final say that this is verified, this is good. Those MCP servers or that the agentic infrastructure, you know, speaking through an MCP server to a service, 100%, I'm going to biometrically approve that and let the transaction commence, right? So we're going to see more of that play a role. You know, while everyone wants to move towards a deeper fabric of these interconnectivities, humans are a huge part of that fabric.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I love the term human in the loop. And I think that's, I'm a big fan of that when it comes to agentic AI and IT. And again, like 5 years from this, will probably feel differently, look differently, but I don't know. The biometric thing is wrapping up here. Like, the biometric piece of this, I think, is critical because in a world like as this AI stuff gets even faster, better, stronger, that's going to be the one thing you can't, like, the AI can't beat is my fingerprint locally. That the faster we move in some ways, that needs to, that biometric, whether it's, you know, live retina scan, whether it's thumbprints, like that has to be the final say so. I don't know. Like, it's like all things are new. Like, you just watch these trends repeat themselves over time. Like, everything, like in some ways, this transition to agentic AI is very similar to me. What, like with cloud. So if it was like, go cloud without really a plan of like, what problem are we solving? Like, what is the future? You know, how do we make sure we're secure? And you just, companies probably make mistakes and they take, you know, one step forward, two steps back, but then, you know, on a long tail, they get there. And then, you know, and if there's problems to be solved, you either solve them yourself or companies come along and sell that solution. Like you mentioned with those, your 26 companies solving this problem. And largely, there's a lot of these that are like, okay, that's, as you said, there are features
of the identity stack. So probably some of them will get bought, some of them will go out of business, some of them will merge, and like, you know, you'll just every industry ends up consolidating over time anyways.
Agreed.
So, well, Greg, thanks for chatting with us. Again, congrats on the announcement with Google and Google Workspace. Again, I'm a big fan of, even when companies like somewhat compete on various things, like coming together with like unified solutions. Again, so much of this, as I'm wrapping up, I don't think you listeners realize, like, in the field, you know, there are so many of these deals that are still these solutions that are built, humans talking to humans. This isn't just like an IT person point and click buying something. It's working with these companies to solve the problems they have so they can meet their business goals. But again, we'll have a link in the show notes where you can learn more, and we will see everybody next week.
Bradley, thank